It's the final Purple Pod from ITT in Cyprus from Travolution. Episode of the Purple Pod from Travolution here at ITT in Cyprus, produced in association for you with Pugini.com, the leading recruitment agency for the online travel industry. In this final episode, we have Kenny Picken from Travel Tech, Philip Dickinson from Sandals, Simon Johnson from P&O Ferries. We also speak to John McEwen from Vantage Travel Centres, and of course, we have our roundup of the events with Ian Brooks of Pugini.com. Here we are at the end of the ITT conference in Cyprus. It's been a fantastic few days, and here is the final podcast from Travolution. We've been broadcasting live through our blogging and with our webcam, which has been rather fun. We've also had TWTV. You can see all these clips on travelweekly.co.uk. In this podcast, which is hopefully around about half an hour, we've got another series of fantastic interviews lined up. We're talking to, as we said earlier, Kenny Picken, Philip Dickinson, Simon Johnson, John McEwen and Ian Brooks. Today was, I think, absolutely fantastic. It kicked off with the right note, I felt. An interview between my boss, Simon Ferguson, the publishing director of TW Group, and Ian McKay, the CEO of lastminute.com, and they really got down to some really meaty issues. It was fantastic. There was almost a full house listening to what Ian had to say, and the morning ended with journalists aren't given over to hyperbole very often, but Sir Ken Robinson, I thought, was perhaps one of the best conference speakers I've ever heard. You know, Sir Ken Robinson, for those that don't know, is as Wikipedia is telling me in front of me here, is a recognised leader in the development of creativity, innovation and human resources. An absolutely phenomenal speech, an hour and 25 minutes, stood in the middle of the stage, hardly moved, used just maybe three or four slides and just captivated that audience. Absolutely fantastic. I highly recommend it. That you go and see any clips that you can of Sir Ken on various sources. There's some stuff of him on the head website and also on YouTube. But absolutely brilliant. And also we managed to catch up with an array, as I said earlier, of distinguished people to give us their thoughts on how the conference had gone. Okay, so I'm here with Kenny Picken, who's the managing director of leading travel technology firm Travel Tech, based in Scotland and in London. Kenny, you've been here for a few days. You were in this morning session, Ian McKay. What did you think? How he did, and what he had to say?
I thought Ian's chat with Simon was really interesting. We are a supplier to LastMinute.com, and we also have their trade brands coming through our dynamic packaging systems. So we could look at, his conversation from two angles. So he didn't seem to give too much away on the forward strategy, but I agreed with most of the things that he had to say.
Yeah, I mean, in particular, he was, and he's spoken before about this at various Travolution events, where he's talked about this kind of disintermediation and the way the industry is becoming specialist on the one hand and mainstream on the other, and there's this kind of dodgy middle ground for those that don't have the volume in the mainstream or the specialist in niche markets to kind of make a difference. And, of course, he'd never publicly say who he thinks is under pressure, but do you agree with that theory? And who do you think, or what types of companies are likely to see some pressure?
Well, from my perspective, I do agree with it, and I have to be concerned with the number of accommodation providers, of which, out of 37 that we hold within our dynamic packaging system, we've got about 12 who really focus on med beds, and you have to wonder really what the differentiation is in those suppliers, and you have to be concerned about margins as they all compete for the same customer, and therefore margins are driven down, costs are still rising, so you have to be concerned about some of the providers, definitely. So I would agree with that, and it's the niche ones who do have the differentiation, perhaps not going for the same volume but going for niche, which are probably most likely to survive.
Yeah.
Let's just talk generally a little bit about travel technology. I mean, you're very well established here in the UK, one of the leading players, as we said. I mean, is there a sense that people are constantly looking at their technology provision, or do they do it in phases? And I'm thinking more, you know, we have this debate in Travolution about software as a service, and whether it's product-based. I mean, what kind of trends are you seeing in that area?
Well, of course, at Traveltech, I like to think that we differentiate ourselves from other suppliers, and we invented the strapline many years ago that we were your partners in travel technology. And that's really how we like to work. We have a very close association with our clients. So from our perspective, we always see the technology as a moving target. We're constantly trying to become involved with our customers' evolution. And at the same time, that helps our product evolve. So by keeping the communication very, very close, we win for everybody. The agent wins because they get the product to evolve as they want it to, and our system also evolves, which makes it more attractive to new clients.
Yeah, and just a kind of a spiky last question to finish on. There's only a few travel technology providers here at the ITT conference. Why do you think that is?
Good question. For me, I was once given the advice from actually Steve Endicott, who said, if you really want to reach the decision makers, you should be at the ITT conference. It's the best one of the year. And I took his advice, I came along. It is very, very useful. We've actually done some meaningful business with some very high profile clients at ITT. We've concluded business here and we've initiated business. I don't really want to be advertising to other technology companies, but the reality of it is they are missing out.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks ever so much, Kenny. Appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of the conference and a safe flight home.
Thanks very much, Kevin. I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
So thanks there to Kenny Picken from Traveltech. Great provider of travel technology to our sector here. Interesting thoughts from him. Our next interview is with Philip Dickinson, who is from Sandals. I caught up with him earlier this afternoon and asked him how he'd felt the conference had been from his perspective. So joining me now is Philip Dickinson. He's the Market Development Director for Sandals. So good afternoon to you, Philip.
Good afternoon.
Just a few kind of questions from us, actually. I mean, I must confess, Travolution doesn't speak to the likes of Sandals very often. I mean, you don't have a particularly kind of strong B2C presence on the web, but you do now have a booking engine on your website. I mean, I just wondered if you could kind of explain to us what was the thought process of suddenly deciding to put a booking engine there. Was that consumer demand, or was it something that you felt that you needed to do?
Well, I think we just felt that, obviously, you know, we've got a very dynamic website in terms of a lot of information on there, and we just felt that it was probably useful just to have some bookability, really. But it's not something that we're, doing in a big way. I mean, we're still hugely, hugely committed to our tour operator partners, and in the same way, obviously, to our retail partners as well. I mean, that's, you know, we have 10 of our business development managers out on the road, calling day in, day out developing our key travel agencies and the relationships where agents are supporting us, and we work very closely with our preferred tour operator partners in terms of standalone brochures. You know, content on their websites. We're giving them the opportunity to drop in a microsite, joint marketing opportunities with our tour operators that are supporting us. So, like I say, it's just something that we felt was important to have in this day and age, because obviously people are far more internet savvy, to have some bookability. But like I say, we're still hugely committed to our trade partners.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, and just to talk about, we're here at ITT. I mean, you've been at some of the sessions over the last few days. Lots of meetings, I would imagine. Is one of the great things about ITT is that people kind of dip in and out of the dip in and out of the sessions and combine them with meetings. Yeah. You saw some of the ones yesterday, you said to me earlier, and I just wondered if there was any particular one that stood out for you
of the sessions.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was interesting to get an insight, because, I mean, as we all are very aware, it's such a, rapidly changing marketplace. And I think it was interesting to hear the comments from, the Stella CEO and how he feels the business is shaping, because they've obviously come into the market, from Australia, and made some big purchases on the retail side and on the tour operating side as well. And we're hearing from them on the US side. They've obviously bought a very big tour operator in the US, Liberty Gogo, who we work with in a big way in the US. So I think things that seem to be sort of developing from a global point of view, and I thought it was good to meet those guys in a social environment as well. Obviously get some feedback from the likes of Kawoni and things as well, and just hear what the cruise guys are up to on their 50th anniversary. I mean, you know, we view them to a degree as, you know, a little bit of competition, but not, if you see what I mean, because I think we are the classic, you know, very upscale, you know, the very top end of the all-inclusive market. But you know, they're touting obviously themselves as obviously offering, you know, great service and great meal choices and things as well, which we do the same. But obviously we're land-based and they're sea-based with stop-off. So just interesting to hear what those guys are up to. And you know, I thought that, and the airports, of course, it's a topic that's very close to all of our hearts in terms of getting through the airports quickly, because it affects
us all. Just on that, there was perhaps the spikiest session yesterday was when the first guy, John Grant, was saying that, you know, it's tour operators and their charter airline partners have really missed a trick by not working with airports to a better extent, and they're almost, you know, airports are at the behest of low-cost carriers now. Those are the ones who are driving route and destination innovation, and the tour operators are really just going where the airlines are deciding to go, rather than becoming, you know, we're the ones who think this particular location is important and we want to get in there. I mean, would you agree with what he was saying?
I listened closely to those comments. I can't speak so much about the short haul market, because obviously we're totally Caribbean based. But I can speak, you know, about the from a Caribbean perspective. And what I would say is that, you know, the Caribbean islands, certainly all of the Caribbean islands that we're involved with, I know and can say confidently that they're all wholeheartedly behind getting more airlift into their destinations, because, you know, obviously tourism is a big thing for them. I mean, that needs to be in a controlled way, but I think, you know, certainly, like I say, the islands are always, you know, introducing new product, getting new rooms on stream, so they need, you know, a good amount of airlift, and I know that they, for a fact, that they would support that. So, maybe that's a topic where perhaps the destinations tourist boards or destination government, should I say, perhaps needs to sit down more with the airports in addition to the carriers as well, perhaps have a three-way conversation. But I thought those stats that saying, you know, how many what a lack of airlines go to the routes thing, was it the complete lack of tour operators that actually attend the routes, they've got the airlines there and the airports, but a complete lack of tour operators. I thought that was a bit of a staggering statistic, and I would totally agree and support that they probably should be communicating a bit better.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time. Enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Okay, and all the best. Cheers. Now, Simon Johnson, who was on stage yesterday during the morning on the Celebrating 50 Years of Travel by Sea, rather grand title for a session, but that's particularly what they were doing, which was celebrating everything that's been going on in the cruise industry. Anyway, Simon joined the likes of Bill Gibbons and Carol Marlowe and David Dingle for quite an interesting session about how the cruise market is developing and how important it is for many reasons to the trade. Anyway, I caught up with Simon Johnson this afternoon. Okay, so we're here now with Simon Johnson, the Sales and Marketing Director for P&O Ferries. Interesting on a number of aspects, because I don't recall in recent memory a ferry company being on the programme at ICT, and you spoke yesterday in the cruise 50 years of cruising section. First of all, what did you think of yesterday's sessions, and what did you kind of get out of it, and is there anything that was particularly resonates with you, and which you think was kind of, I don't know, was more controversial for the delegates, first of all? That's about four questions in one, but, you know, I'm sure you can answer.
It's late in the day. Thanks for all those questions. I think really it was really good, because the sessions were really well constructed, because it started off to do with Manchester Airport, the issues, we've all been through it. I mean, that's really where we market, which is ferries are a real alternative to travel. I talked about what kind of people actually travel back on ferries. I think people have forgotten about ferries, and that's our job to get us back on the map, and that's what the Passenger Shipping Association does. Yeah. We work very closely with cruises, and actually I showed some slides yesterday which illustrated the point that ferries, at the end of the day, if somebody comes into a travel agency, whatever, they ask for a cruise, they're quite likely to be a ferry person, and vice versa. So that's really interesting from that point of view. In terms of what Manchester Airport went through and other airports was, we have a similar kind of anxiety point. We've all been through the check-in, the delays, security and so on. And from a point of view from ferries, is it's simple. If you've got a family, you're young and you've got together, and there really is an alternative for ferries nowadays in terms of you can take your car down to Dover, for example, check in very simply, you're on the ferry in half an hour or so, you're on holiday and off you go. So there's freedom of choice and so on.
Us at Travolution are forever banging on about user experience. Now, I would imagine your biggest competitor on the Dover-Calais route these days is Eurostar. Who would you say has the best user experience? And I'm not just talking about online, I'm just talking about the general customer journey.
Well, I think when you come down to it, it's about choice. And I think it's fair to say without the Eurotunnel development, if it shut tomorrow, we couldn't cope with the amount of business which is now there. So actually, over time, it's grown. But it's about, if you look at ferries, summer is when people want to travel on ferries, and fresh air, freedom, space, be with families, it's part of your journey and so on. So why be stuck down a black hole is the kind of things that we want to talk about. Whereas, you know, maybe January, February, a little bit worried about the weather and so on, then maybe you'll do that. But it's about short breaks and about changes and what you actually want to do and so on. And ferries give you an experience. I mean, where else can you actually go on there, get a break from your family, shop, you can have a nice food and beverage experience, have a coffee, a croissant, etc. It's fantastic.
Just on that, do you think that ferries have got over the kind of bad rap of a reputation that they used to have?
No. I think that's a fair comment, and that's really my job as sales and marketing director in P&O, but as chair of the, or just about to be chair of the Passenger Shipping Association, that's what we're trying to do, is really put ferries back on the map as a real choice. You know, I mean, you think, how many strikes have there been? August, every summer, there's been fog, there's been baggage delays, Terminal 5. I mean, who really wants to do that? Now, okay, if you go to Cyprus, where we are now, you're not going to get a ferry. I haven't invented a ferry for that yet. Maybe one day. Cruising, try that. But really, if you go to France or near, then really there's a real alternative. Have a great time and do what all of us used to do as kids. Yeah. Apart from the ferries have improved so much.
Yeah, and before we came on air and we started recording, we were talking about your distribution channels through the trade and direct to consumers. Can you just talk us through a little bit about what your percentage is between the trade and direct to consumers on the website, and how much that has changed and where you see it going?
Yeah, obviously from a P&O perspective, I can give you our angle, but I don't think it's that dissimilar. You always have percentages on percentages and numbers, but broadly speaking, it's just changed the distribution. Probably about 40% of our business still comes from the business-to-business category, and the rest of it is direct. But it's changed. It's no longer about the high street travel agency. It's now moved into consolidators. It's a bit like Kelku, where they actually show you different prices for different companies. You now have companies who now provide a service to do that, and that's where we go. And also our own direct website. You really have to be open for service 24/7 in a consumer's front room. And it's fantastic where you can just do that on any product nowadays. And that's really what low-cost airlines taught ferries a lesson. Yeah. Is you've got to get rid of these five-day fares and all these different regulations, which is what British Airways did and so on. And we've really learned from that kind of experience where you can just book it, go the next day, same day and so on, and start to explain what ferries are about.
Yeah, I mean, you're in a good position in some respects about the way you distribute your products via the web, because dare I say it, for being told off, but you do have a reasonably simple product like air.
Yeah.
Now, which is where the difference is between you and major cruise lines, is that it's a very, very complicated product. So I would see that that's only going to increase in your direct sale is going to increase over time. Or do you think the intermediaries are going to become even stronger?
I think you have to put it into consumer choice. We watch it very closely, and consumers like to go direct to a brand such as mine, where we've got 98% standout. We're up there with British Airways. Our flag is as known as the Union Jack. So at the end of the day, I feel like I've got 150 years worth of heritage to work out. So I really go really where consumers want to go, but if they want to book in an agent, let them book in an agent. And it's not about commission. You know, when you've got a ticket at £25, we're talking about 10% commission. I mean, for God's sake, what's that about? You know, but whereas what agents are doing is exactly the same as solicitors. They are consultants. If you walk into a high street agent with all their costs and everything, they're asking for advice. It's not just part of the ferry. So they have a part to play, and we keep going on about this. I'm also a fan of cruising, which is great for the PSA. And therefore, cruising plays its part, and it connects with ferries because it is about an experience. So we're just about to order two brand new ships. They will be state-of-the-art, as everybody says. It will be about P&O, the brand, and experience, not a light bulb and a lino and whatever. It will be an experience to travel between Dover and Calais on the largest ferries ever to operate. And it is about giving you a break. Why bother at a motorway service station when you have sea views, a nice croissant, coffee, etc., etc., and work?
I suspect the travel agency community wouldn't be too pleased to be likened to the legal profession, but interesting. Thanks ever so much for talking to us. Enjoy the rest of the conference.
It's a great pleasure, and thanks for everyone's support.
Okay, so thanks there to Simon Johnson of P&O Ferries. Now, our penultimate interview in this Purple Pod comes from John McEwen, who's the Chief Executive of Advantage Travel Centres, the consortium of travel agencies in the UK. He actually asked a question of Ian McKay during his session first thing this morning. Very good question, I thought it was, as well. But we've kind of caught up on this in this particular interview that we did very late this afternoon.
Okay, so John McEwen, Chief Executive of Advantage Travel Centres. You've been here for both days. Have you enjoyed the sessions, first of all?
Yes, I have. It's the ITT conference is always very productive from my point of view. You get the right people out here. It's great from a networking point of view. You can meet a large number of people in a very short period of time. And from that point of view, it's very productive. In terms of the sessions, I've enjoyed some of them, it's fair to say. I think that Sir Kenneth Robertson was absolutely fantastic. I thought he was brilliant in terms of his insights, and in particular, the importance of people within an organisation, and like giving them room to grow and actually add from a creativity point of view and so on. So that session was particularly good. Other good sessions as well. I think what we learned was that we're not immune to the credit crunch. There is tough times coming ahead for the travel industry, but there's a resilience to actually get through it as well. So, yes, I think that most people will leave this conference feeling quite confident about the future, but also recognising it's going to be quite tough.
Yeah. Apart from, I think most people are already agreeing that Ken Robinson's speech was, I don't say this lightly, was almost awe-inspiring.
Yes,
it was an absolutely fantastic speech. But, I mean, apart from that, what else did you, or is there anything that you particularly learned over the last few days?
Well, most of what I learned was through networking, to be honest. I think that many of the sessions were informative, gave you information that that was useful and so on. I felt that the interview with Ian McCaig gave an insight into last minute in terms of the its you know, role within Sabre Travelocity, if you like. And Ian's a very focused guy, and he's obviously driving that business forward. I felt that the sessions yesterday, the one that could have been expanded and I think would have been very valuable was the one which was, I think, entitled The New People, where we had people like Keith Stanley involved and Nick Hughes and so on, because that felt as though it was starting to build up some momentum, but it ran out of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's easy to have hindsight, but I think that needed another half hour of, because it would have got into some really nitty-gritty issues, I think, as far as the industry is concerned. So it wasn't allowed to expand. But, you know, I guess everybody has to learn from that.
Yeah. Something interesting that I agree with you. I thought Ian McCaig's interview was very good this morning. I'm not just saying that because my boss conducted the interview, but, you know, he did share some insight. And one of the things that Ian has talked about, I think, almost constantly over the last year, is this disintermediation of the industry where you have, and he's talking about online, where you have large mass market bucket and spade providers and those that are niche and specialist, and you have this rather dangerous middle ground that he talks about where there are those that are in this area that things might be a little bit shaky for them because they don't have the ability to buy volume and they're not specialist enough to be niche. Now he's quite passionate about this particular theory of his. I mean, do you agree with what he's saying, that it's a dangerous ground?
Well, I do agree with Ian, if only for the fact that if you look at any industry, being caught in the middle ground is actually the most vulnerable area. That in any industry you choose to look at, the grocery is a very good example. You've either got to be very big and mass market, like a Tesco, or you've got to be very niche. And there's no room for the sort of people caught in the middle, effectively. It's the same in travel. It's not just an online phenomenon. It actually applies to any channel of distribution in travel, really. And I think that, you know, from our point of view, that's why we've been very aggressively as Advantage pursuing a segmentation strategy where we become expert. We're not selling the same products as everybody else on the high street or online any longer. We are specializing more and more. We still sell mass market products, but we're not wholly dependent on them anymore. But to sell them successfully, you've got to have a level of expertise, and you've got to be more knowledgeable, because you've got to actually have more knowledge and expertise than the consumer has themselves. Otherwise, why would they come to you?
Okay, well, thanks ever so much, John. You'll be hosting your own conference in September, which I hope will be as well attended as this.
Well, certainly it augurs very well at the moment. We are anticipating having an audience of around about 550, which will be marginally more than ITT, but it'll be a great event. We've got a great lineup. Members are signing up very rapidly, and we're supported by our business partners, so it'll be a really keynote event. So for those people who are interested in coming, it's the last weekend in September, 26th to 28th of September.
Yes, well, well done there, John, for getting that small plug in at the end, but appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of this particular conference.
Great. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks there to John McEwen of Advantage Travel Centres. What he didn't mention there is that I think they're probably kindred spirits. They both have a frighteningly similar accent, both being from the northwest of England. But anyway, thanks there to John McEwen. Now, in our final interview, as we have done with all these special editions of the Purple Pod at Travolution at ITT, we have been talking to Ian Brooks from Pugini.com, which is the sponsor of the ITT Purple Pod podcast, to get his thoughts on how he thinks things have panned out as the sessions have gone on through the day. Here's the final interview here on the Purple Pod, and we had a great chat late this afternoon, and this is what he had to say.
Yeah, I thought it was a great variety today, actually, and so many different aspects covered. So we started off with Ian McKay from lastminute.com, a well-known personality in the industry now. Ian never ceases to amaze me with his ability to be such an entertaining presenter and interviewee, but yet he incredibly manages not to give really anything away. So, you know, a rare ability there to keep everyone entertained, and then you kind of go away and analyse it and say, actually, I didn't really find anything more out about their organisation. He never gives anything away to his competitors.
Sure, but on that, he said some interesting things about, Ian's big thing, as we've heard at Travolution conferences, is that there's this kind of differentiation of products and services where you have mass market, big organisations that are able to buy volume, and you have those that are in the niche specialist area, and there's this kind of strange middle ground that could be quite scary for people as they go ahead. Do you, number one, agree with his analogy and that theory, who do you think is likely to fit into that? I'm not expecting you for a second to name names, but what types of companies would fall into that middle ground?
Yeah, it's a good analysis that Ian does. I think it's not just about size, it's about risk as well. And I think in the current economic climate, and also, you know, anyone that's got commitment and that has aviation risk or aviation commitments is going to be in trouble, potentially. So I think I think we might see perhaps some businesses that previously were happy to be independent might now be looking to cozy up to some of their bigger boys and perhaps be sold out. I think there might be quite a lot of deals done, quite a lot of acquisitions for businesses that perhaps are in that middle space and that actually need to be part of a bigger business in the current climate.
Sure. Great that the ITT actually thought of putting a ferry operator in P&O on stage yesterday, and Eurostar today. Two competing businesses, but do have quite a pretty strong stranglehold on the market. I mean, did you think the Eurostar guy performed well? Was there anything interesting that he had to say?
I thought he did perform well, and I think actually, to some extent, he's at an advantage because they have a product that just fits the current environment so perfectly. You know, it's incredibly green relative to flying, and you know, their carbon emissions are so much lower. They don't have to buy oil or fuel. You know, they're electricity driven train lines. They're so much greener, and therefore in the current environment, you know, he's actually in quite a strong position. So, but I thought he made the most of his opportunity.
Sure, and you know, what ended up being a fantastic last session here today. I mean, I don't think I've spoken to anyone in the hours after the final session who hasn't been raving about Sir Ken Robinson. It was, I thought, an inspirational speech. I mean, how did it go down with someone who, you've probably been to plenty of conferences, and let's be kind of brutal about it. How did it rank with the kind of sessions that you heard in previous years?
It was definitely right up there. Before we go on to Sir Ken, I just want to mention one thing, which I thought that Nick Mercer from Eurostar was very sort of, he didn't actually say it, but I thought he implied it. And actually, if I was him, I would have actually been bolder and said it, which was, yeah, actually, we moved from Waterloo Terminal one day, we closed one evening, and we started the next morning at St Pancras with absolutely no hitches, no glitches. It all went smoothly. He didn't make the analogy with Terminal 5, but I'm sure he was very tempted to. But well done to Eurostar for that.
Why do you think he didn't make the analogy then?
Perhaps you know, he's just sort of very polite, and you know, didn't want to have a pop at anybody, or perhaps they're trying to you know, have an interline arrangement or something with BA. I don't know. But anyway, on to Sir Ken, who was truly inspirational. Someone that can hold an audience for an hour and a half without them getting fidgety. And to keep them laughing, keep them amused, keep your brain stimulated for that period of time is quite incredible. No notes, no lectern, just stood up there and delivered most incredibly inspiring speech, and made you feel so intellectually inferior when you listen to somebody talk at that level. And just also, you know, very, very humorous, and his timing and delivery hugely, hugely stimulating. What a great end.
I think the vast majority of the delegates here would actually agree with you. I think it's actually unusual for a conference for people to walk away from something and say, that really was absolutely fantastic. I mean, fair play to the ITT for you know, bringing in someone like Sir Ken Robinson to do that. I mean, he's becoming very well known in certainly the creative, innovative circles for doing what he's doing. But, you know, a great choice from the ITT. Thank you very much to you, Ian, for your input over the last few days. We've had a great time. We've had a lot of listeners, actually, on the Purple Pod here over the last few days. So I hope you've enjoyed taking part and you've enjoyed the event, and we look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thank you, Kevin. It's been great to be involved in this. It's a very innovative approach, as always, from Travolution. It's been a fantastic conference, and I think it's not easy to put these conferences on. It's not easy to keep people interested and keep their levels of involvement up, and well done to the ITT.
So that about wraps it up for this, the final edition of the Purple Pod podcast from Travolution here at ITT, a series of three special editions of our podcast. My enormous thanks to all the interviewees over the last 3 days. There's been a number of occasions when I've just literally gone up to people and said, hey, do you fancy talking to Travolution for our podcast? And we've been very lucky that 100% have all said, yes, we'd be delighted to be involved. Let's go and have a chat. So thank you very, very much from me for taking part. And in addition, from Travolution, thank you very much to Ian Brooks, and by extension to Gail Kenny from Pugini.com for their fantastic support for this initiative of ours. It's been an enormous success, and we're very, very grateful for their input, both editorially and as sponsors. So thank you very much to them. The Purple Pod will return in a few weeks, as usual, with our array of interviews. We have our guest slot, The Sky's the Limit, where we will showcase a UK startup in the online travel space. So look out for those. As always, you can subscribe via iTunes and both our Podomatic and the usual RSS feed. So look out for the next editions of that. We are now
going to take, I hope, is a well-deserved break. We've been working very hard, myself and the rest of my colleagues on Travel Weekly. It's been a fantastic couple of days. I hope you've seen some of the content we've produced with the TWTV and all the news coverage and the live blogging. It's been a really phenomenal few days, so we hope you've enjoyed that too. It only goes for me to say thank you very much for listening, and look out for the next Purple Pod soon, and all the best.